Good morning, and welcome to First Covenant this morning, Palm Sunday. I hope you all got a palm. During our first hymn this morning, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, we're going to bring our palms forward, if you so desire. And if you would come up the center aisle and go around the sides and lay them by these two vases of palms on the near the altar, not right on the altar. But that said, if you are the kind of person that likes having palms during Holy Week in your home during your devotions or just to remind you of the season, please feel free to take one on your way home too so you can have that with you. The announcements this morning are few. This morning when we gather together for coffee and fellowship, following that time, we're going to finish our Andy Stanley series. We got delayed last week, so we'll be doing the fourth session of Why Easter Matters. And then there's a little homework assignment for Holy Week for you to continue that focus. This week, there is no ladies' lunch on Tuesday. That schedule has changed. And then on Thursday, we will be gathering for a Monday-Thursday service here at the church at 6:30, and we will be celebrating the Last Supper. We will be having communion. Next Sunday is Easter. We hope you can join us and invite someone to come with you. Pastor Nellis is going to be preaching, next Sunday we are not having coffee after church, so you can cross that off. Nor during worship are we having communion again. Just worship at 9:30, and then hopefully you have plans to celebrate the resurrection with family and friends. And lastly, if you have any flowers that you would like in the sanctuary next week to honor somebody or just to contribute, Easter lilies or flowers, tulips, anything, please bring them here before Saturday or by Saturday. And if you want somebody to be recognized in the bulletin, let Gail know if the flowers are in honor of somebody, and she will get that into the bulletin. I think those are the announcements. On April 12th, the church council will be meeting, and on April 19th, the pastoral search committee is meeting just to kind of to regroup and to pray about our future and the preparation of a pastor that the Lord has for us. Okay. If you would please stand for the call of worship, and we will read that responsibly. Responsibly and responsively. Humble and riding on a donkey,
we greet you.
Acclaimed by crowds and caroled by children,
we cheer you.
Moving from the peace of the countryside to the corridors of power,
we salute you, Christ our Lord.
You are giving the beast of burden
a new dignity.
You are giving majesty
a new faith.
You are giving those who long for redemption
a new song to sing.
With them, with heart and voice, we shout,
Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Okay, remain standing for hymn number 228, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. And during the last verse, if you would bring your palms forward if you desire, that would be great.
To
Almighty God, we pray you bless these branches and make them holy. Today we joyfully acclaim Jesus our Messiah and King. May we reach one day the happiness of the new and everlasting Jerusalem by faithfully following him who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love
endures
forever.
Let Israel
say his steadfast love
endures
forever.
But
open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The
righteous
shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he made his light to shine upon us. Bind the
festal
sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the
altar.
You are my God, and I will give you thanks to you. You are my God, I will
extol
you. I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love
enters
forever.
And then our second reading is found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And that can be found on page 754 in your pew Bible.
And came to Bethlehem.
Bethpage.
Bethpage to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her.
Untie
them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of the Zions, Behold, your king is coming to you, humble in the mountain on a donkey and on a colt, and full of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put them on their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spreaded their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the crowd that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered
Jerusalem,
the whole city and stared up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from
Nazareth
of Galilee."
Pulling my little step out here makes a nice little cubicle for children to cuddle in. Have the usher come forward, please. Father, as we lay before you our financial offering, we give you all that we are and everything that you have entrusted to us. Come, bless these gifts for the sake of your kingdom and glory. Amen. ¶¶ please stand for the doxology? Join me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we're gathering here today to honor and worship you, to give thanks for sending your Son as a path to salvation. Palm Sunday, the day Jesus entered the city and was looking forward to the coming week, the coming events, knowing all that was going to happen. He dedicated time to his disciples and the people in that way, loving them, teaching them, preparing them for the future. Again, all the time knowing what the end of the week would bring. We thank you, Lord. But words are inadequate. That doesn't even begin to express our feelings and what we should be feeling. And not only do we have the gift of salvation, but you sent the Holy Spirit to be with us daily, supporting us, guiding us, teaching us, and keeping us in a way that you would have us live our lives. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, today for those within our circles that are experiencing illness, Lord, who have experienced tragedy in their families, people in the extended world who have had natural disasters, who have experienced death from tornadoes and hurricanes. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would bring people into their lives to support them and help them and their families and recover. Help them recover, Lord, and see your hand in it all. We thank you, Lord, for the people that keep us safe here in our community. Our health care providers, Lord, the law enforcement that keeps our city safe. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for those experiencing illness, and we thank you for the blessings that they have received, for the healing that has occurred, for the peace and the comfort in pain. And we thank you for those things. Continue to bless them, Lord, and continue to give their doctors and nurses the skill and the knowledge to take care of them. We thank you for that. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, as we ourselves enter this week, that we will have you first and foremost on our minds, and that we will remember what a gift it was for your Son, to give your Son to die on the cross and be raised again for our sins. Loving God, we rejoice that the joy of Palm Sunday and the sorrow of Holy Week lead to Easter. The stone rejected by the builders is now the main foundation stone. In your name we pray, amen. And now if you would turn to hymn number 227, we will sing together All Glory, Laud, and Honor, prior to Pastor Rebecca joining us with her message this morning. Everyone loves a parade. How appropriate. Everyone loves a parade. Hymn number 227, All Glory, Laud, and Honor.
Would you please pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, everyone loves a parade, don't they? My good friend, who also happens to be a pastor, told me that last year on Palm Sunday, her daughter Hannah, who was 6 at the time, was fighting a bad cold. And so the night before, she and her spouse decided that to be on the safe side and not expose the whole congregation to her germs, Daddy and Hannah would stay at home from church the next day. Hannah was not pleased. She scowled at her mom and grumbled, "Sure, the one Sunday that I miss is Parade and Pony Sunday." So in her household, Palm Sunday is now known as Parade and Pony Ride Sunday. Because everyone loves a parade, don't they? I mean, sure, miss any other day than Parade Day. Before moving to the range, I could probably count the number of parades that I had attended on my fingers. I grew up in the suburbs without a main street, and even my high school was on a highway and 60 miles per hour speeds and crepe paper decorated floats don't really go hand in hand, so I don't have many memories from my childhood years or teen years of attending parades. But then in my 30s, I accepted a call and moved to Biwabik. And I still remember that first 4th of July. I walked the 3 blocks up to Main Street, where our small UCC church was located. And it was an hour before the parade was to begin, but I was astounded. Already, there was an entire line of lawn chairs all along the sidewalk. And one of my parishioners, reading my expression, yelled out, "Pastor, you're gonna have to get here a lot earlier if you want a seat." But his granddaughter, who was always the first to run up and sit right next to me during the children's time, saw me and she yelled, "Pastor Bucca, Pastor Bucca, you can sit with me!" And she grabbed my hand and pulled me to the curb and plunked herself and me down right in front of the line of lawn chairs. And I gotta tell ya, it was the best seat there. It was perfect. You could see up close and personal all of the kids with their decorated bikes and the older siblings who were pulling the wagons decked out in red, white, and blue. And the wail of the fire trucks were really loud there, and it was like you could hear it in your chest, the boom, boom, boom of the drum in the marching band. And I even managed to get a little candy, and I didn't even have to shove any kids out of the way for it. It came right to me. Everyone loves a parade. So whether it's a Land of the Loon parade in Virginia, Minnesota, or a parade in the ancient Near East, I think everyone loves a parade. And today is Palm Sunday, Parade Day, the day that we remember Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And I have often wondered if there were some on that day who yelled out to a friend or a neighbor, "You're gonna have to get here a lot earlier if you want a seat." We're told that there were large crowds there that day. And all throughout the region, people had been talking about this man from Nazareth, the man who performed miracles, the man who healed even on the Sabbath, the man who took on the religious leaders of the day and told a hurting, bleakly hopeless crowd that they were blessed, and to them belonged the kingdom of God. The word spread like wildfire. It was he whom the scriptures had written, the Messiah, the one who would save them. He was now making his way into the city. He was entering Jerusalem, and like the conquerors of old who had laid waste to the land and overthrown the government, he was entering the city, and I'm sure there was excitement and anticipation, thinking, finally, he's taking his fight to the heart of the government. He's marching into the city to give Rome a black eye, like they deserve. Finally, their time for power was coming. "Hosanna," they shouted. Let's shout it together today, just like then. I'll say it first, and then you can respond. "Hosanna." I have to tell you, that was a little lame. I don't know if it's because as kids we got hushed a lot in church, but let's try that again. I mean, it's okay to shout in church despite what our parents told us when we were young. So let's try it again. "Hosanna!"
Hosanna!
Much better. Do you know what you are shouting? What does Hosanna mean? It's not a word we use very often. I don't know about you, but it doesn't come up in normal conversation for me. I think probably the last time I said it was probably Palm Sunday last year. It's a peculiar word, one that's kind of difficult to define. Scholars' best guess is that Hosanna is a contraction of two Hebrew words, Yasha, meaning deliver or save, and na, meaning we beseech you or we pray. So translated, the crowds are shouting, "We beseech you to deliver us." The crowds, as they put their palm branches and laid clothing on the parade route, are shouting to Jesus, "Save us! Save us!" And I'm willing to bet that everyone here today, like that crowd on that day when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, have said those words a time or two. Maybe prayed them, whispered them, wept them.
Jesus, save me. Save me from this. I have a colleague who says one of the things he loves to do in confirmation class is ask his confirmands, what would you ask Jesus to save you from? I mean, of course, sin and death, which he likes to remind his seventh graders that Christ has already done that. But what would you ask Jesus to save you from right now? And he says the answers are always enlightening. If you think that youth aren't struggling with a lot, you would be wrong. He asks them, and he gets, of course, the flippant answers of, like, from my algebra test. But he says they're willing to go deeper, and then he gets the real answers. Save my grandma from her cancer. Save me from my parents' unending expectations, from the pressure to fit in, from my fears and anxiety. Save me from hating the way I look, from loneliness, from feeling like all I do is mess up and let people down. And if we were to ask ourselves right here, right now, what our hosannas would be, I would be willing to bet that a lot of them would be very similar. Jesus, save me from this cancer. Save me from my mountain of debt. Save my child from their drug addiction and make it go away. Save me from my dead-end job that I can't stand, but I feel trapped because my family needs the income. Save me, save us from mass shootings, from war and hunger or apathy or greed. Hosanna, Hosanna, we cry out as we attempt to catch a glimpse of the Messiah. Our Holy Week scripture tells us that Christ made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem and was greeted with shouts of joy. But we know the whole story. In a matter of mere days, those cheers would turn to angry shouts of crucify him. The crowds that greeted him with excited exultation turned when it became apparent that Jesus would not save in the way that they wanted. Salvation would not be an overturning of the government, but a turning of hearts. It was not with force, but it was with love. Salvation was not Christ taking the throne, but Christ offering his very being as the atoning sacrifice. But the people couldn't see it. They didn't want it. They wanted salvation on their terms. And so the question for those who came out for the parade that day is the same question for us over 2,000 years later. Is Christ's salvation through the cross enough? Will it be enough for us to stay and for us to believe? What if your cancer is never cured? What if you pray and you pray and everyone who you know prays and people you don't even know pray and it never goes away? Will the cross be enough for you to stand in your trust in God? And what if your child is never cured? What if they're never cured of their addiction? Moreover, what if they never stop drinking, never stop using? What if they even lose their life to that addiction? What then? Will the cross be enough for you to still say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And when we look at this world and we turn on the news and we hear of another mass shooting and another natural disaster and another bombed out city, will the cross be enough? Will we still believe in Christ's salvation? At the beginning of this service, you brought forth your palms, and I know it's a tradition of this congregation and such a beautiful way of offering our joy and our hosannas on Palm Sunday. And I'm going to ask you that after the service, maybe come forward and take just one little frond off that palm and take it with you. Take that little piece of green home with you and stick it someplace where you will see it every day. Maybe under the magnet on your fridge. Do people still have magnets on their fridge, or did that go out with stainless steel appliances? Or maybe you'll put it in your wallet, or maybe you'll put it on the corner of your mirror in your bathroom, or under the visor where it'll poke out just a little bit in your car. But somewhere that you will see it often, and you will be reminded. For I hope that long after the hosannas have stopped ringing, and even after the taste of bread and wine that we will have this morning has faded, long after the parade and the pony rides have ended, I hope you will see that small palm and remember that even in the darkest hours, even when we pray and the answer is no, even when we feel like the world is falling apart, may we remember that we have a God who went to the cross for us. And how can that ever be anything but enough? Salvation is ours through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we, in the depths of our despair, shout, Hosanna, save us, Lord, Hosanna, may we hear God's gentle, love-filled answer reply back, my child, my beloved child, I already have. Thanks be to God. Amen. We will continue with Holy Communion. This is not my table. This is not the church's table. This is Christ's table. And Christ invites any and all to come to this table and to be fed. So come to this table not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because of any goodness of your own that gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord and want to learn to love him more. Come because the Lord loves you and gives himself for you. And let this bread and wine be for you the token and pledge of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit. And may it mean for you all that you need as you receive it in humble faith. We remember on the night of betrayal and desertion that Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the meal, he took the cup and he poured it out and he gave it to his disciples saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless this bread. Bless this fruit of the vine. Bless all of us in our eating and our drinking, that our eyes may be opened and that we might see the risen Christ in our midst, in each other, and in all for whom Christ has died. Amen. And hear us now as we pray together the prayer of our Lord and Savior. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Christ has died. Christ has risen. And Christ will come again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for now all things are ready. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat.
This is Christ's blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. Would the congregation please rise that we might give thanks unto God through prayer. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we will continue with hymn 122, O Zion, acclaim your Redeemer.